Today is the 22nd day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today. Back together around the global campfire, back from the holy city of Jerusalem, actually, for my last day. So lots and lots of people were flying out overnight, maybe even landing in different parts of the world now. Many are leaving this morning. We have an extended play. We are staying here for the next week. A lot of the time we'll be spending in Jordan, and so we're looking forward to sharing all of that. Same way we've been sharing this entire trip. But we will also be leaving Jerusalem today, heading back up into Galilee, where we'll kind of stage ourselves to cross the border. And so, and actually just catch our breath for a second. The intensity of a pilgrimage like this is, I mean, I'd say it at the beginning of the trip. It's, you know, we're like going to hook ourselves up to a fire hose and try to drink. And that's about right. It is a lot. Just a lot on every level. A very much significant amount of spiritual things to consider and drink. And then just being in a different place and moving around and just all of the experiences that happen. It's a lot to take in. It's a beautiful lot. Like it's just an overwhelming amount of emotion and information. And so it's been great. Need a second to catch our breath and continue the journey. So this is the last time we'll be coming to you from Jerusalem. So it's been great to be here together as we continue the journey forward. It's a brand new week. So let's huddle up like we do. Let's gather together here around the global campfire and just maybe stand up and imagine ourselves. Fire is roaring and we're just kind of looking out over the vista. Our campfire is on this high rise, and we have this view that cascades off into the distance, rolling hills, trees, a stream, a river off in the distance. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's uncharted. It is the week in front of us. We haven't gone into that territory yet, ever. We've never been into that territory because it's never happened before. But it's going to. Step by step, day by day, we're going to navigate this next week. And that is going to be made up. That story is going to be told through thoughts and words and choices and actions. And that will tell the story of our life in the coming week. And so instead of living, just reacting to anything that comes, being unprepared for everything that comes, and just feeling bowled over or blown down by it, we're just standing here together out in front of it, deciding that that is not how it has to be. We can choose in advance what character, like the character, the wisdom that we will lean into no matter what comes our way, that we will pause and reflect before we speak, that we will pause and think of wisdom before we act, that we will pause and count the cost of what we are about to do and the impact that it will have on those that we love, that we will walk in the light, that we will live in the truth. Man, stack up some weeks like that in a row, and we are walking out of the darkness. And we are walking away from the things that we are afraid that will be exposed. We are walking into freedom where there's nothing to hide. Because we're walking in the truth and we're walking in the light. As So it's a brand new week. May we live it well. May wisdom be a category and a voice. May the Holy Spirit lead us into all truth. And may the scriptures guide our every step. It's a brand new week. We'll read from the New Living Translation this week and pick up where we left off today, Leviticus chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "If anyone has a swelling or a rash or discolored skin that might develop into a serious skin disease, that person must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons. The priest will examine the affected area of the skin. If the hair in the affected area has turned white and the problem appears to be more than skin deep, it is a serious skin disease, and the priest who examines it must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. But if the affected area of the skin is only a white discoloration and does not appear to be more than skin deep, and if the hair on the spot has not turned white, the priest will quarantine the person for 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest will make another examination. If he finds the affected area has not changed and the problem is not spread on the skin, the priest will quarantine the person for 7 more days. On the 7th day, the priest will make another examination. If he finds the affected area has faded and is not spread, the priest will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. It was only a rash. The person's clothing must be washed, and the person will be ceremonially clean. But if the rash continues to spread after the person has been examined by the priest and has been pronounced clean, the infected person must return to be examined again. If the priest finds that the rash has spread, he must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean, for it is indeed a skin disease. Anyone who develops a serious skin disease must go to the priest for an examination. If the priest finds a white swelling on the skin, and some hair on the spot is turned white, and there is an open sore in the affected area, it is a chronic skin disease, and the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. In such cases, the person need not be quarantined, for it is obvious that the skin is defiled by the disease. Now suppose the disease has spread all over the person's skin, covering the body from head to foot. When the priest examines the infected person and finds that the disease covers the entire body, he will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. Since the skin has turned completely white, a person is clean. But if any open sores appear, the infected person will be pronounced ceremonially unclean. The priest must make this pronouncement as soon as he sees an open sore, since open sores indicate the presence of a skin disease. However, if the open sores heal and turn white, like the rest of the skin, the person must return to the priest for another examination. If the affected areas have indeed turned white, the priest will then pronounce the person ceremonially clean by declaring, "You are clean." If anyone has a boil on the skin that has started to heal, but a white swelling or a reddish white spot develops in its place, that person must go to the priest to be examined. If the priest examines it and finds it to be more than skin deep, and if the hair in the affected area has turned white, the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. The boil has become a serious skin disease. But if the priest finds no white hair on the affected area, and the problem appears to be no more than skin deep and has faded, the priest must quarantine the person for 7 days. If, during that time, the affected area spreads on the skin, the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean, because it is a serious disease. But if the area grows no larger and does not spread, It is merely the scar from the boil, and the priest will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. If anyone has suffered a burn on the skin, and the burned area changes color, becoming either reddish white or shiny white, the priest must examine it. If he finds that the hair in the affected area has turned white, and the problem appears to be more than skin deep, a skin disease has broken out in the burn. The priest must then pronounce the person ceremonially unclean, for it is clearly a serious skin disease. But if the priest finds no white hair on the affected area, and the problem appears to be no more than skin deep, and has faded, the priest must quarantine the infected person for 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest must examine the person again. If the affected area has spread on the skin, the priest must pronounce that person ceremonially unclean, for it is clearly a serious skin disease. But if the affected area has not changed or spread on the skin and has faded, it is simply a swelling from the burn. The priest will then pronounce the person ceremonially clean, for it is only the scar from the burn. If anyone, either a man or woman, has a sore on the head or chin, the priest must examine it. If he finds it is more than skin deep and has fine yellow hair on it, the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. It is a scabby sore of the head or chin. If the priest examines the scabby sore and finds that it is only skin deep but there is no black hair on it, he must quarantine the person for 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest must examine the sore again. If he finds that the scabby sore has not spread and there is no yellow hair on it, and it appears to be only skin deep, the person must shave off all hair except the hair on the affected area. Then the priest must quarantine the person for another 7 days. On the 7th day, he will examine the sore again. If it has not spread and appears to be no more than skin deep, the priest will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. The person's clothing must be washed, and the person will be ceremonially clean. But if the scabby sore begins to spread after the person is pronounced clean, the priest must do another examination. If he finds that the sore has spread, the priest does not need to look for yellow hair. The infected person is ceremonially unclean. But if the color of the scabby sore does not change and black hair has grown on it, it has healed. The priest will then pronounce the person ceremonially clean. If anyone, either a man or woman, has shiny white patches on the skin, the priest must examine the affected area. If he finds that the shiny patches are only pale white, this is a harmless skin rash, and the person is ceremonially clean. If a man loses his hair and his head becomes bald, he is still ceremonially clean. And if he loses hair on his forehead, he simply has a bald forehead. He is still clean. However, if a reddish-white sore appears on the bald area on top of his head or on his forehead, this is a skin disease. The priest must examine him, and if he finds swelling around the reddish-white sore anywhere on the man's head, and it looks like a skin disease, the man is indeed infected with a skin disease and is unclean. The priest must pronounce him ceremonially unclean because of the sore on his head. Those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" As long as the serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean. They must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. Now, suppose mildew contaminates some woolen or linen clothing. Woolen or linen fabric, the hide of an animal, or anything made of leather. If the contaminated area in the clothing, the animal hide, the fabric, or the leather article has turned greenish or reddish, it is contaminated with mildew and must be shown to the priest. After examining the affected spot, the priest will put the article in quarantine for 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest must inspect it again. If the contaminated area has spread, the clothing or fabric or leather is clearly contaminated by a serious mildew and is ceremonially unclean. The priest must burn the item, the clothing, the woolen or linen fabric or piece of leather, for it has been contaminated by a serious mildew. It must be completely destroyed by fire. But if the priest examines it and finds that the contaminated area has not spread in the clothing, the fabric, or the leather, the priest will order the object to be washed and then quarantined for 7 more days. Then the priest must examine the object again. If he finds that the contaminated area has not changed color after being washed, even if it did not spread, the object is defiled. It must be completely burned up, whether the contaminated spot is on the inside or outside. But if the priest examines it and finds that the contaminated area has faded after being washed, he must cut the spot from the clothing, the fabric, or the leather. If the spot later reappears on the clothing, the fabric, or the leather article, the mildew is clearly spreading, and the contaminated object must be burned up. But if the spot disappears from the clothing, the fabric, or the leather article after it has been washed, it must be washed again. Then it will be ceremonially clean. These are the instructions for dealing with mildew that contaminates woolen or linen clothing or fabric or anything made of leather. This is how the priest will determine whether these items are ceremonially clean or unclean. Mark 6, 1-29. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. And Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family." And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people. And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out 2 by 2, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick. No food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. "Wherever you go," he said, "stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate." So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Herod Antipas, the king, soon heard about Jesus because everyone was talking about him. Some were saying this must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That is why he can do such miracles. Others said, he's the prophet Elijah. Still others said, he's a prophet like the other great prophets of the past. When Herod heard about Jesus, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has come back from the dead. For Herod had sent soldiers to arrest and imprison John as a favor to Herodias. She had been his brother Philip's wife, but Herod had married her. John had been telling Herod, it is against God's law for you to marry your brother's wife. So Herodias bore a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But without Herod's approval, she was powerless. For Herod respected John, and knowing that he was a good and holy man, he protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so, he liked to listen to him. Herodias' chance finally came on Herod's birthday. He gave a party for his high government officials, army officers, and the leading citizens of Galilee. And his daughter, also named Herodias, came in and performed a dance that greatly pleased Herod and his guests. Ask me for anything you like, the king said to the girl, and I will give it to you. He even vowed, I will give you whatever you ask up to half my kingdom. She went out and asked her mother, what should I ask for? Her mother told her, ask for the head of John the Baptist. So the girl hurried back to the king and told him, I want the head of John the Baptist right now on a tray. Then the king deeply regretted what he had said, but because of the vows he had made in front of his guests, he couldn't refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner to the prison to cut off John's head and bring it to him. The soldier beheaded John in the prison, brought his head on a tray, and gave it to the girl, who took it to her mother. When John's disciples heard what had happened, they came to get his body and buried it in a tomb. Psalm 39. For Jeduthun, the choir director. A Psalm of David. I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Rescue me from my rebellion. Do not let fools mock me. I am silent before you. I won't say a word, for my punishment is from you. But please stop striking me. I am exhausted by the blows from your hand. When you discipline us for our sins, you consume like a moth what is precious to us. Each of us is but a breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cries for help. Don't ignore my tears, for I am your guest, a traveler passing through, as my ancestors were before me. Leave me alone, so I can smile again. Before I am gone and exist no more. Proverbs Proverbs 10:10. People who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another week as we open ourselves to all that we will face, all of the joys and the challenges that any week can bring. And so we are open to the voice of wisdom in our lives. We are open to the leading and guidance of your Holy Spirit in our steps. We are open to the scriptures and the mirror that they become into our souls. We are open, and we have decided to follow and to walk the narrow path. So, Spirit of Truth, lead us into all truth as we continue to navigate the days and weeks and months and years of our lives that you have given us as a gift here on this planet. And what a gift it is. Sometimes it seems anything but. And our emotions and our trauma and our pain and our wounding and our nervous systems can do a lot. They can foretell so much that we understand, and this is a gift. They can also be so painfully erratic, and so we invite Spirit of Truth, Comforter, Holy Spirit, that you comfort us and guide us and keep us stable in all that we do and say. We pray this in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, this is JC from Texas. And I wanted to share another word of encouragement from the devotional Worry Less, Pray More by Donna Maltese. Worry is often prompted by fear, which some people say stands for false evidence appearing real. Yet God would have you overcome those worries and fears with faith in Him and His Word. Faith is not wishful thinking, but knowing God has made certain promises to you and that He will keep those promises. So you can accept them as your present reality, even if you do not yet perceive them. As you read the Bible, you begin to see and understand that all God has said and promised came to pass for those who believed. And this same fact holds true for you today. So let go of fears and worries and hang on to faith and hope. God is already working on your behalf, transforming His promises into your reality, even as you hear these words. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." I believe, Lord. I believe. Have a blessed night, Deb family. I love you.
My daily audio Bible. This is Jessica in California. And I'm calling. I'm thinking about my brother. His name is Keith. He's 42 years old. He just had his first child in at the end of July, and he's been on drugs for about the past maybe year and a half, and I've just seen it taking him downhill. He has a good heart, but he's on a heavy drug called meth, and it's making him delusional. It's got him all over the place. He's really a good worker. He has all these tools, but every project that I see him working on is just tearing everything down instead of building things up, and he never finishes the project. And anyway, I just keep trying to witness to him. I'm there for him every time he's in a jam. I try my best, but they also, him and his wife, they withdraw and they kind of keep to themselves unless they're having a problem. So sometimes it's just easier for me to stay back out of the scene than to involve myself. But it's just been on my heart that I need some help with prayers to pray for him and his salvation. I'm just praying that he'll find Jesus, or Jesus will come and wake him up out of his sleep and he will be saved. So please pray along with me. Thank you, brothers and sisters. This is Jessica in California. Hope you're having a good day. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, family. This is Just Right for Jesus, and I'm calling in today for God's Little Bird and all the teachers that are in this community. I know being a teacher is tough, especially with teenagers, and the compliments and the thank yous are few and far between. So on behalf of all the truly amazing, God-loving teachers that are in this community, I want you all to know how special you are. And to this community and to me personally, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all that you do. I'm so proud of you. Keep being awesome. The fact that you guys take time out of your lives to invest in the future generations and helping others grow is such a blessing and a gift we all should be grateful for. You're such a blessing to this community, God's Little Bird. Keep up the great work. And Brian, I want to give a special thanks to you as well for being the most important teacher I've ever had in my life. I listen to you every day. You're a gift that words just can't describe. I can't wait to get to know the Word even better with you on this journey, my friend. If you don't feel like you belong where you are, or if you feel like you don't fit in with the groups and circles in your life, just know you're always just right for Jesus. I love you, family. Stay positive.
To the old man sitting out in the prairie of Iowa, this is God's Life Speaker. I heard you on the community prayers of January 31st asking for prayer for your pastor. I think you said he's 95. He's been taking chemo, but not anymore. And that he used to go with you on some truck runs that you did. And there were many truckers that had their lives turned over for the Lord. So what a witness, what a testimony to have a friend like that, a pastor like that, someone you have just done life with, it sounds like. So we will uphold him. Heavenly Father, you know who this pastor is. You have walked with him before him, created him before time began, and you know his story, his beginning to his end. And you know about this friendship too. And Lord, we just pray that as he draws closer to being in your presence, really in your presence, when he opens his eyes and sees you standing before him, that you would just give him days that are full, that are not painful, and that are glorious, and that he will, with every breath, continue to praise and point others to you. And thank you for this old man out in the plains of Iowa. Would you bless him? Would you give him the strength to continue to witness and be the testimony of Christ for others to see? And may he have the joy of passing the story on and on as he goes about his days. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.